Eternal Father, enfold us in thine arms of love. Flood us with the rays of heavenly light. Grant to us the Spirit to sharpen our minds, that we may heed the still small voice speaking through thy word. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. On the first Sabbath that I visited this church, a very friendly person, I think I would have to characterize him as quite prominent, took me by the hand and led me through corridors and tunnels to see what was happening in the Sabbath School department. And as we walked, he shared a piece of information with me. We do not believe in prayer in this church. Took me about six paces to get my breath back. And then, as is my wont in such cases, I darted a prayer to heaven on his behalf, because he surely desperately needed it. I have discovered that he didn't know what he was talking about, and I am thankful for that. But there are some in this current age who do not believe in prayer. Prayer is self-hypnosis, it's talking to yourself, it's whistling in the dark. You're made up of your genes and chromosomes, and if there is a God who interferes in heaven, he sure doesn't listen to some inconsequential nincompoop in Glendale. That too is utter poppycock. And it always surprises me that the people who make statements like that look superficially intelligent. I have to take another look at them to assess them. And then I dart another prayer to God. They desperately need it. Prayer is the Christian's vital breath. It is the most precious exercise that a Christian is capable of indulging. The consciousness that all day, in all circumstances, in any place, we can dart our minds to Christ in heavenly places and pray is the greatest solace that I have. I must dart 100 prayers to God, 200 prayers some days. A baby whimpers in church. Some saints frown. I always pray. Comfort the mother, she's here to worship. Give patience to the saints who should know better and have forgotten the day that they cried in church, if they went to church. I've asked many questions of students in class, and they have fumbled and stumbled, and their fellow students have laughed. I always pray. Lord, help him to do what he can do. Help him to do his best. Bring to his remembrance what he studied. And I'm looking at him, listening to him, hoping he'll produce it. And my mind is communicating in the sweetest communication that I ever enjoy. Prayer is a habit. Like all habits, it must be cultivated consciously at the beginning. We must will ourselves to pray. Prayer is communion with God. It's turning the heart to God as to a friend. It's sharing our fears and our uncertainties and our points of ignorance and forgetfulness. Pray without ceasing. Doesn't mean we're down on our knees, but the thought is there. As soon as we need, Lord, help me. I can't find a text. You wrote the book. Lord, help me find it. I can't understand a text. It's written for my admonition. I'm stupid. Lord, help me to understand it. And he's there, on the invisible lines of communication connecting his throne with my brain. Light and comfort and courage, hope and faith and peace of mind flow ceaselessly. Today we want to consider intercessory prayer, that the pitiable psychologists dismiss with a shrug. Intercessory prayer is by one person on behalf of somebody else. One time some rulers came to Jesus Christ with a request. Master, here is a Roman centurion. He's been kind to our nation. He's built us a synagogue. He has a servant, a non-Jewish slave, perhaps a prisoner of war, snatched from his home and family and country, carrying out chores in Palestine, in a foreign land for a foreign master. He's sick, at the point of death. Please heal him. That is intercessory prayer. A slave belonging to a Roman who solicits the help of the rulers of the Jews who approach Jesus Christ. Four removed. And Christ says, let's go. He knew what he would do. He was just checking things out. Some little boy, swifter than the rest, ran ahead and told the centurion, the master is coming. He sends a servant. You don't need to come. I'm a man subject to authority. Speak the word and my servant will live. He understood the chain of command. General doesn't have to be in the forefront of the battle if he's got good officers and soldiers. Jesus said, I haven't seen so great faith even in Israel. Be it unto thee according to thy word. Can you see the lines? Jewish rulers solicit Christ because they're friendly with a Roman centurion whose servant is sick. And what happens? From celestial spaces, the balm in Gilead flows into that tortured body. He's restored, healed that same moment. This is intercessory prayer for healing. Four legs to that journey. And the answer went, those four legs, faster than the speed of sound, of light. Two sisters, friendly with Christ, had a brother whom Jesus loved, who was sick. And they sent a messenger, Lord, he whom thou lovest is sick. And when he had heard, therefore, he abode. I like that word, therefore. It was because he loved, he whom thou lovest, therefore, he abode. Now, you sent for your pastor as those sisters sent for their pastor. He whom thou lovest is sick. And the pastor waited till the loved one was dead. What would you think? Well, probably just what Martha thought. Came to meet Jesus Christ, arms akimbo, fire from her eyes. Lord, if you had been here, my brother hath not died. But because he loved, he delayed. He abode 2 days. See, intercessory prayer is not always answered with the speed of light. It's not even answered at the speed of sound. It is not answered at any speed. Why? Because he loves. This is for the glory of God and for the blessing of the sisters and for evidential support to all Israel and all generations. Because he loved, therefore, he abode. And in his good time, at his good speed, he came and stood and ordered the stone rolled away and spoke. And he who was described as stinking stood in his manhood, restored every whit whole. That's intercessory prayer. Lazarus in his fever and delirium couldn't pray. All he could do was toss. His sisters were the ones that dispatched the petition, claiming that the Savior loved. Delays sometimes are part of the divine answer to prayer. You know, Jesus is disappointed that there are so few intercessory prayers. How do I know that? Because the Bible tells me. In Isaiah chapter 59, verse 16. And Jesus saw that there was no man, and wondered that there was no intercessor. Therefore his own arm brought salvation, and his righteousness sustained. He saw that there was no intercessor. No one to pray on behalf of someone else. And this morning I want to lay on you the burden of intercessory prayer. For whom have you prayed today already? Who is on your prayer list for regular intercession before the throne of God? Your children, your parents, your sisters or brothers, your neighbors, your business associates. The man or the woman at the counter who takes and makes change. Do you ever pray? For those who are missionaries in faraway places. As you read the missionary magazines. And a life 10,000 miles away comes flowing through that printed page and impinges upon your life. Needs and fears and thoughts and hopes, successes and disappointments crowd your thoughts. As you live for a little while another life, you pray for them. When you think of the brethren, lands that are difficult, persecuted, husbands, wives, here in Glendale, whose companions ridicule and push, for the truth's sake, who come here faithfully, hoping that today they will not rouse hostility, fury, anger, sometimes demonstrated in physical striking. Pray for them here in Glendale. And persecuted brethren in other parts of the world. Central Europe, Southern Europe, China, Russia, Middle East. I talked to the missionary in Turkey. Sat within the fortress bounds of a castle made by Lysimachus. We could see down on the sea coast a monument to Ataturk. Later I took a picture of it. It's larger than life. He rides proudly on a horse larger than life. And around the sides of the base, the carvings of his exploits, of how he, a Muslim, drove the Greeks into the sea, who were Christians, herded together the Armenians, and sent them eastward on a death march, with a suggestion that any who might help themselves, boy or girl or youth. And as the missionary remembered as he was talking, he says in the office, in Istanbul we still get the occasional letter, no address, just a simple name at the end, dear brethren, I am trying to be a Christian in a Muslim home. A little girl caught up in her early teens, now a middle-aged woman, silently in a Muslim home, trying to be a Christian, and wistfully finishing her letter, pray for us that the Lord might soon come. And those in Russian and Chinese, camps of extermination. Do we ever remember? Or do we share our prayers by shorthand? A few phrases, clipped and pruned to the bone, hurrying towards a peremptory amen and a dash for the car on our way to work. As I meditated on this meditation for this morning, I was impressed again by the number of men who prayed for other people. The words of Samuel 3,000 years ago, 1 Samuel chapter 12, kept crowding my mind. Verse 23. As for me, God forbid that I should sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray for you. I had to catch my breath and realize that if I ceased to pray for somebody, I was sinning against the Lord. Failure to carry out intercessory prayer is sinful. May I urge, may I strongly recommend that if you haven't done it before, you make a prayer list. If you want, I would suggest you put the date when you begin to pray. And in the next column, the date when God answered that prayer. You will be thrilled. I picked up last night a book by Mullah, Bristol Orphanages, 67 years, supported by intercessory prayer. Never told anyone his need except his Lord. And as I looked over the careful accounts in this autobiography of the monies as they came in, of the projects as he wanted, as the land and the buildings and the contractors that he had to hire, steady way in which the Lord answered. When he started out, he said for 2 days he had no food. But the Lord never sent that test again. He didn't complain at the end of the 2 days. And his main message is keep yourself within the orbit of divine love and purpose. Which is what Christ meant by speaking in his name. And then when you know it's his will, you know he will answer. Think of some of the objects of intercessory prayer. Hannah prayed for her child unborn. The child for whom she had longed many years and knew would be her last. With a resolve that when he was old enough, she would lend him to the Lord. Is it any wonder that that child grew up to be Samuel the prophet? The founder of holy education. Samuel started the schools of the prophets because he wanted to try to undo what other parents who hadn't prayed like his mother had failed to do. For he longed for the heritage supported by prayer unborn and prayer at birth and prayer every day since had made of him. He wished these young to appreciate and become. And Samuel says, God keep me from sinning in ceasing to pray for you. Hezekiah prayed several times for his people, for the needs of his age. 2 Chronicles 30:18-19. Moses prayed for his sister. Numbers 12:13. Miriam's problem was that she had a size 14 mouth and a size 3 brain. Her breed is not extinct. She was a backbiting critic of the brethren and burst into a beautiful case of leprosy. What's God trying to tell us? He's equating leprosy with gossip. I think all gossip writers should take a course in short story writing and become novelists. And instead of spreading their falsehoods by word of mouth, try them out on editors. Save us many problems. And Aaron says, you've got to pray for Miriam. And so he asked the Lord. The Lord says, when a little boy is wrong, you let him stand in the corner for that long. Let Miriam stay outside for a little while. She's got to meditate on this. Then you can pray for her tomorrow or the day after. Very interesting. Study very carefully the divine discipline in Numbers chapter 12. Moses didn't give up. He prayed. He prayed for his poor sister. And you know, that prayer was answered not only in healing, but it cured her of her criticism. Nobody had any more trouble all the 40 years of wandering. She was smart. She learned the first time. Intercessory prayer. I think we could find at least one gossip in our acquaintance. Call them Miriam. Don't identify them. So when you see Miriam on your prayer list, that's a gossip. I must apologize to my wife. Her name is Miriam. The Lord will forgive and cleanse there too. Abraham prayed. Very strange circumstance. He told a lie about his wife. He says, she's my sister. By that, denying that she was his wife. And Abimelech became interested in her. And the Lord sent him a nightmare that night. Get rid of this woman. You can never have her. She belongs to Abraham. Do you know what the Lord told Abraham? Pray for him. That the thoughts he allowed to stray in the wrong direction might be purged. Well, what of Abraham? Well, he prayed for himself. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 1, finally, brethren, pray for us. Intercessory prayer for the pastor and the officers of the church is part of the divine providence. I would like to echo Paul's words on behalf of all the pastoral staff. Brethren, sisters, pray for us that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified, even as it is with you, that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men. For all men have not faith. That second yearning of Paul is current in the heart of some pastors in some places today too. Intercessory prayer is a vital part of the Christian way of life. Make a prayer list. Remember Jesus, who prays for us without ceasing. He ever liveth to make intercession for us. He is set down at the right hand of the throne of the Majesty on high, interceding for us. Every day, every hour, every prayer of Christ is intercessory. He doesn't pray for himself. He didn't need to pray after Gethsemane and Calvary. Every prayer had been answered. He reached the point where he needed no more personal prayer. Are you looking forward to the time when you will no longer need personal prayer? And every purpose of God will be fulfilled in your life? And every intercessory prayer will be answered for the days of eternity? Tomorrow or tomorrow? But today, we must pray. As Jesus prays. Without ceasing. And when you hear names mentioned and they pass through your brain, dart a prayer for them. Lord, remember them. Just as Nehemiah prayed. Lord, remember her for good. Lord, remember him for good. Just a flash of prayer. And in the conflict between right and wrong, the weight will be towards right. Prayer is the Christian's vital breath. Pray without ceasing. Let us now pray. Eternal Father, we thank Thee that we have an intercessor. Whoever lives, who only lives to intercede. That we each one might be brought within to remain forever the circle of His love and grace. This morning we have mentioned many kinds of needs. As those needs become personified and we see faces in need, teach us how to pray for them as we ought. We thank Thee for Thy intercession. We pray that Thou wilt make us intercessors through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
This has been another classic sermon from the Archive of American Christian Ministries. This recording has been digitally reprocessed from the original audio cassette or reel-to-reel in order to make this CD available. The audio quality was improved as much as possible. International copyright, American Christian Ministries. All rights reserved. To order a copy of this or other presentations, or for a free catalog, please call toll-free 800-233-4450. International calls dial 717-652-7000. You may also order from our secure website at www.americanchristianministries.org. There you will discover the largest selection of authentic Adventist preaching available. You can trust ACM. There is no compromise here. If American Christian Ministries has been a blessing to you, why not take a moment just now and send us a note or an email with your testimony? We'll share it with our speakers and volunteer workers to encourage them. Your prayers and continued financial support are very important to ensure the continuation of this ministry as we help prepare America and the world to meet Jesus Christ. He's coming soon.